See when we start. Excellent. Okay, well, welcome to all of you and thank you for being here. This is the Regional Growth Committee of the Wasatch Front Regional Council. My name is Dawn Ramsey and I have the privilege of serving as chair of the Regional Growth Committee, and I just want to welcome all of you that are with us. We have elected officials, we have staff, we have people from all sorts of agencies around the entire Wasatch Front that care about transportation and are involved really in the planning and the process and making sure things continue to go really well for us as we grow here in Utah along the Wasatch Front. So thank you, all of you, for being here and for your engagement today. We're going to start this meeting. My time says 9:46. It's 9:46 a.m. And I'm going to turn it over to Andrea. As I said, Andrea is the one that makes us all look good. She just really keeps things flowing well. So we're going to turn it over to Andrea and ask her to do a roll call.
No pressure at all. And I'll probably screw this up. I'm just going to read the names across just for the purpose of the recording. We have Reed Ewing, Gary Bowen, Megan Townsend, Andrew Gruber, Len Arvey, Kendall Thomas, Dawn Ramsey, Bert Granberg, Joy Petro, Ted Knowlton, Linda Johnson, Brett Milburn, Carlton Christensen, Laura Hansen, Jay Aguilar, Russell Weeks, Beth Holbrook, Ron Bigelow, Jim Harvey, Ned Hacker, Rosie Hernandez, Ryan Beck, Joy Johnner, Hugh Van Wagenen, Lauren Victor, Travis Olson, Richard Snellgrove, Wendy Thomas, Daniel Dugan, Tammy Moody, Evan Curtis, Robert McConnell, Ben Withrich, Christy Dahlberg, Nikki Navio, Shul Bishop, Nicole Mendelson, J.C. Skinner. Thank you, Mayor Ramsey.
Thank you, Andrea. Appreciate that. And again, thank you to all of you for being here. We have some new members with us here for the first time, and we welcome each of you. And I just want to give a little shout out to who you are. And then heads up, I'm going to ask you to each take just a quick second to tell us about yourself, introduce yourselves. We have Robert McConnell, who's with the Morgan County Commission. There's an alternate on the Morgan County Commission, a new alternate, Matt Wilson. We have Richard Snellgrove from the Salt Lake County Council. Welcome, Councilman Snellgrove. And Tyler Vincent, who is the Brigham City Mayor. So thank you to each of you for joining us and welcome to the Regional Growth Committee. I'm just going to go in order that I said your names and see if we can start with Commissioner McConnell and see if you'll just take just a quick, give us a 30-second introduction as to who you are and what you're about.
Okay, sure. I'm Robert McConnell. I'm the chair of the Morgan County Commission. This is my third year on the commission. I'm a land use lawyer by training. I lived up in Morgan County for 11 years now, and prior to that, about 17 years in South Jordan. I have a lovely wife and five kids, all who are grown, and we're in the drive-by mode. If we're on the way to somewhere they're going, they stop by, and otherwise we have to initiate all the contact.
Well, there's so much about that I can relate to. And it's a good thing that we love Morgan County because we're sad to have you not in South Jordan anymore. However, it's a win for Morgan County to have you. So thank you for being here. Okay, Mr. Wilson, are you with us?
I am. Hi, everybody. Good to see everyone today. It's spring. We're getting closer to through COVID, I would hope. So I can't complain, I guess.
Awesome. Thank you. It's nice to see you. Do we have Richard Snellgrove here from the Salt Lake County Council?
Yes, Mayor. Thank you. It's an honor to be with you. My name is Richard Snellgrove. I'm honored to serve in a second term as an at-large member of the Salt Lake County Council. I'm a graduate of the University of Utah. I own a travel business in Layton, specialize in business travel, ski vacations, and beach vacation destinations marketed through five websites. My wife and I, we live in Murray, have four children and nine grandchildren, and it's an honor to be with you and serve the people of Salt Lake County and the Wasatch Front on the Regional Growth Committee.
Great, thank you, Councilman Snellgrove, welcome. Okay, Mayor Vincent, are you here with us? Maybe not yet. Okay, well, we will make note and try to remember to talk to him next time. And Matt Wilson with Morgan County. Are you here with us? Also not here. Okay. Well, we will make a note of that as well. Great. Well, thank you and welcome to all of you. Next up is the public comment portion of our meeting. If there's any member of the public here that would like to address the committee, I would ask that you please turn on your camera and give me a wave. Give us a wave so we can see that you would like to speak. Technology is awesome, but it makes these a little unique. So we'll take just a quick minute to see if there's any member of the public here that would like to speak. Okay, Andrea, I don't know if you're seeing anybody. I'm not.
But we do need to approve the minutes, please.
Yes, we are going to, but we're going to close the public comment portion of the meeting because there's nobody here who would like to speak to the committee. Okay, that being said, yeah, that's actually way up at the beginning, number one on the agenda after the welcome is to approve our minutes from last time. Those minutes have been sent out. Is there anybody who's gone through those? Hopefully everybody's gone through those, but is there anybody who would like to make a motion to approve the minutes from our meeting, our Regional Growth Committee meeting that we had on January 21st, 2021?
Motion to approve, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion by Jim Harvey and a second. I'm sorry, by who? I did not see who made the second.
Mayor Searle.
Okay, thank you so much. All right, we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Okay, seeing none, all in favor of approving the minutes from January 21st, 2021, please say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Those minutes are approved. Thank you so much. All right, item three on our agenda, we really want to talk about some of the legislative outcomes. We've all had now more than a week, we're almost at 2 weeks that we've had to kind of catch our breath since the legislative session ended, and most of us on this call are not legislators. However, we are all very busy during the session. It's a lot of work for all of us, and we appreciate the engagement that we have with the legislature and with the governor's office and everything that was accomplished. This was a significant legislative session. They always are, but this really was, especially for what we focus so much on here with Regional Growth Committee. So we want to talk a little bit about the legislative outcomes and progress and the path forward now that the session is over and we have some new legislation, some new funding coming, how things look and what we need to do going forward with our Wasatch Choice regional vision. as you'll recall, our first strategy is to provide transportation choices. Second strategy is to support housing options. Our third strategy is to preserve open space. And our fourth is to link economic development with transportation and housing decisions. So this is a good time. The session's over. It's a good time to step back and assess where we are in the work of planning our region and our individual communities. And then so let's talk about that. And then we'll end with the legislative session. And here we are, you know, hopefully wrapping up the pandemic. It seems as though there's an end in sight, at least. We don't know for sure when, but listen, at least we didn't have an earthquake today. I'm saying it makes this a good day. A year ago today, things were extremely upside down for all of us. So this is a good day if we can have this meeting and talk about going forward. We've all made it through quite a year. We've all been very collaborative and we've all worked, and there's a lot we'd like to keep doing, but let's start by talking maybe about our existing framework for our collective planning between our communities and our regional agencies with the Wasatch Choice Regional Vision. So we have a video. Actually, no, we don't have a video. Sorry, the video is a lie. I don't know where I got that because it's not even written on my notes. Anyway, I wish we had a video, but we don't. I'm gonna turn the time over to Ted and just let Ted take it away and kind of run us through the Wasatch Vision real quick, and then we're going to dig a little deeper into what things look like going forward.
Mayor, thanks so much. A lot of you are familiar with the Wasatch Choice Vision. We have a few new members. Just a quick reminder on this. We're all in the middle of dealing with rapid growth and the complexities of COVID-19. The concept of Wasatch Choice is let's lift our eyes to the horizon a little bit and come up with a shared strategy for how to address those needs, those demands of growth and a recovery from COVID-19. So it's really about coordinating local changes to communities with regional infrastructure changes and tying those together. And we arrived at it collectively through a very rigorous process, a four-year process, where we explored scenarios and different ways that growth and infrastructure might unfold. We ran through scenarios, we tested them with models. We had a conversation with local elected officials and staff throughout that process, together with UDOT and UTA and the League of Cities and Towns and many, many partners, a really inclusive process. Ultimately, what we landed on is a shared blueprint that you hopefully can see on your screen. And this is the story of key destinations within community centers and how they align with changes to infrastructure. So you can see this on the Wasatch Choice Map, and you can zoom into any part of your community in that. When you look at that kind of map and you think about the benefits of it and the story that it tells, it really rests on four key strategies, which you see on the left of my screen. The four strategies are transportation choices. You heard the mayor talk about them. Support housing options, preserve open space, and link economic development with transportation and housing decisions. Where those elements land and align really matters. There's a lot of value in that kind of alignment. Now, a little bit lesser known about Wasatch Choice is that we asked communities to affirm that vision in workshops. And so these were in essence blessed community by community, not as something formal like a general plan, but as a basic commitment to, yes, we will explore these ideas in our local governments. It also was adopted by the regional council. And so this became a formal element of what WFRC seeks to advance through the regional transportation plan and our economic development strategy as well. So it has that kind of formal basis and weight, so that, you know, UDOT and UTA, as they're thinking about and advancing transportation projects and implementing them, they have some basis to say, hey, we're all going to work towards advancing this shared strategy. And then the last thing I'll say about Wasatch Choice is that a lot of communities are also dealing with and addressing new statutory changes that have come out of the legislature through the years. So a couple of years ago, Senate Bill 34, which addressed housing. Well, Senate Bill 34, as we'll talk about just a little bit, is actually pretty consistent with Wasatch Choice in the way that it says, hey, let's not just seek to meet housing needs. Let's think about where those needs land relative to transportation choices and the destinations that people want to get to and how they can get there. And so in a way, we as communities in the Wasatch Front, we're actually already ahead of the game. We're meeting those needs of coordinated planning without needing to necessarily led to that through legislation. You know, we were proactive in Wasatch Choice, the Wasatch Choice Regional Vision. So hopefully that is a little bit of a reminder or a primer, if you're not familiar with or weren't a participant in that cycle that led to the Wasatch Choice Regional Vision. It's a living vision. And changes in what communities want to do in any part of the region, we want to hear those changes. We want to update this map and keep it living so that it reflects where you want to go as communities and that it dovetails with the regional infrastructure planning. Mayor Ramsey, I'll turn it back to you with that quick primer about Wasatch Choice 2050.
Thank you, Ken. Appreciate that. I'd really like to dig in, if we can, to the legislative session and really what actions the legislature took, how it affects each of the four strategies as part of our plan. And so, Andrew, I'm going to ask you if you will jump in and update us on all things and really what it looks like now with the new legislation and how it pertains to the plan that we have in place.
Thanks so much, Mayor Ramsey, to you and to everybody else. I'm happy to give a brief report on some of the outcomes of the most recent state legislative session. I'll echo what Mayor Ramsey said. This was a very significant year in a variety of ways legislatively, but particularly in terms of the work that this committee has done, that all of us individually and collectively have done to promote what the mayor and what Ted talked about, the Wasatch Choice regional vision, so that we can have great quality of life, even in the face of being the fastest growing state in the nation over the last decade. And what I'm gonna hit on, I'll quickly go through a few legislative actions that took place in each of those four key strategies that the mayor and Ted talked about. Provide transportation choices, support housing options, preserve open space, and then link economic development with transportation and housing decisions. Now, if you want detail on all of this, we've got it for you. I dropped into the chat the detailed legislative summary that we produced at the end of the session. So there's links to all of this information and to the bills. But just starting at the beginning on the first strategy of the Wasatch Choice, provide transportation choices. We all know that this was a big year for transportation infrastructure. Most notably, House Bill 433, sponsored by Representative Mike Schultz, who serves as a member of the Wasatch Front Regional Council, authorized the investment of $1.1 billion in additional funding for transportation. And notably, that $1.1 billion was truly multimodal, so providing choices beyond what has ever been done before in terms of state funding. So it put $732 million in one-time funding. So this is general fund appropriations that were put to specific state and local road projects. Then there was $336 million in funding and bond authorization for public transit projects. Most notably, the strategic double tracking and enhancement to the Front Runner system. And I know we have trustees Christensen and Holbrook on with us today. And that will enable an enhancement to the capacity, speed, frequency, reliability of the Front Runner system and other transit projects. And then finally, $35 million for active transportation. So principally regionally important biking projects. And then the last piece is up to $20 million per year for transportation projects in the Cottonwood Canyons. And so again, transportation choices, significant investment in infrastructure, and all modes of transportation. Really, really notable. Now, the second strategy is support housing options. And again, the legislature took significant action in that regard. There were some pieces of legislation. I will note that there was a lot of debate and even consternation about some of the housing legislation that passed, but ultimately there was negotiated outcomes that were reached on, for example, HB 82, which encouraged the creation of more accessory dwelling units, Senate Bill 164, with consensus items coming out of the Commission on Housing Affordability, and $50 million in state funding for affordable housing, which is designed to leverage $730 million in private funding and loans. So supporting housing options. The third Wasatch Choice strategy is preserving open space. And the legislature funded $103 million in one-time funding for new and existing state parks. So the new Utah Raptor and Lost Creek state parks, and then over $67 million for enhancements at our existing state parks, because one of the things that we all know is during the pandemic, the demand on our great natural lands has been off the charts. And so making sure that that wonderful amenity that we have as Utahns and also for our visitors is kept in decent shape. So funding for that. And then the fourth item, the fourth strategy in the Wasatch Choice Vision, link economic development with transportation and housing decisions. Really significant steps forward in that regard also. Ted already mentioned SB 34, which a few years ago required local communities to adopt moderate income housing plans as part of their general plans. And importantly said, local communities, in your general plans, you should coordinate your transportation element of your plan with housing, as well as with the regional transportation plan that we all developed together. Well, building on that, there were a few other things that happened. I'll mention them. House Bill 368 changed the name of the Governor's Office of Management and Budget to the Governor's Office of Planning and Budget. And it reflects a new commitment at the state level to coordinate planning across state entities and then coordination between the state and regional and county and local government. So that's a really positive development. Similarly, HB 348 passed, and that is the bill that creates the new Economic Opportunity Commission and asks for the creation of a comprehensive statewide strategy for economic opportunity. Not so much economic development as opposed to economic opportunity, targeted and coordinated. And that commission is explicitly required to coordinate with associations of government like Wasatch Front Regional Council, counties, cities, as we all work together to make sure all Utahns have access to economic opportunity. And then the last one I'll mention is one that I'm particularly proud of. We worked a lot on this, is Senate Bill 217, sponsored by Senator Harper, who is also a member of the Wasatch Front Regional Council, that creates housing and transit reinvestment zones. This is a bill that incentivizes and encourages all hands on deck to do development around front runner stations. So within 1/3 of a mile of front runner stations, more mixed use, multifamily, and affordable housing in those areas where people can have proximity to the front runner station. It's a great area to absorb growth and provide housing and neighborhood choices. So we'll be working on rolling that out, more information to come on that. But Mayor Ramsey, there's a lot of people on this call that were very involved in the legislative session, and so much more happened, but that's sort of a high level summary of significant steps that occurred that advanced the four strategies of the Wasatch Choice Regional Vision.
Thank you. Thank you, Andrew. And again, thank you to all of you who played a role on this, each of our communities, all of our counties, all of us, I mean, all of us with Wasatch Front Regional Council in one way or another, touched on this legislative session and tried to help good policy outcomes come about. And I think this was a very successful session. So thank you. I'd like to kind of open it up and have a little bit of discussion. I want to talk about, there's a lot of progress that's been made at the local level in implementing the Wasatch Choice, coordinating transportation and housing and economic development. There's quite a bit that is being done, and it's so important that we continue to make progress. But I personally think it's very important that we tell our story as well. It's something that I think we need to make sure that the legislature is aware of the efforts that are taking place at each of these different levels, so that we don't get legislation that might be one size fits all, that may not be aware of the great deal of effort that's taking place in each of our communities. I think telling our story is going to be important. So I'm gonna turn some time back over to Ted and ask a few of the questions from a recent survey. So Ted, I'd love to have you share some of that information with everybody here, if you would.
Thanks, Mayor. And I apologize to everybody that you have to hear from me twice. So dumb luck, I guess. But I think you're going to find this pretty interesting, and we're going to have you do a little bit of the polling that we asked in this survey here today as well. So dust off your fingers and get them ready. Senate Bill 34 is a lot about housing, of course, but it's about a lot more, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. We thought it would be useful, again, in telling the story, if we could get a sense of what's happening community to community in advancing our shared Wasatch Choice vision and in responding to some of the, frankly, transportation-oriented pieces of the Senate Bill 34. And so what we did is we didn't just send a survey out to every staff person. We sent it directly to the lead planner within each community and then asked them to fill it out. We have a really high response rate of 50 communities that have responded to date. So this is not a run-of-the-mill survey. You know, it gets into a variety of things. You know, if you think about, there's so much conversation about housing demands, but meeting the needs of growth can be dealt with and affected in so many other kinds of ways. And those include things like connecting our streets, providing walking and bicycling infrastructure, aligning the centers of growth that we have with those transportation options, including interchanges and transit stations. How we mix origins and destinations can reduce travel demands as well and enable people to walk and bike more. And what about parks and open space? So this is a key question. It relates to Senate Bill 34. We've already talked about this, but Senate Bill 34 has land use pieces and traffic and transportation circulation pieces as well. So Rosie, bring up our first question for everybody to weigh in on. So let's see what this looks like. The question is, has your community undertaken any of these planning or zoning modifications in 2019 or 2020? Hey, and if you want, if you've just been really busy in 2021, go ahead and extend it to that. So you're gonna pull into this, it's totally anonymous. And then what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna show you how those 50 lead planners answered this question, very likely including the community that you represent. So you pick everything that applies and we'll just close it here in another 10 seconds. Okay, so we'll close it in 3, 2, 1. And Rosie, go ahead and show us the results on that. That's a lot of you, right? A lot of you saying, look, we're doing interesting things, parks and open space right at the top of the list. Not a big surprise given how that demand for parks and open space has really spiked and may not let down after COVID-19, but street connectivity and street design, parking issues and bicycling. Does anybody want to comment on some of the things that you were thinking about in the other category? And just, you can either unmute yourself or put it in the chat bar. I will just note, I can't actually see the chat bar. So somebody else will have to mention that. But does anybody want to talk about what they put in what they were thinking on the other category? Okay, that's all right. So let me show you what the planners did, okay, on that same question. Hopefully you can see this, but they actually focused a little bit more, or your community said your communities are focusing a little bit more on street design and, you know, how streets maybe accommodate various modes of travel or how they fit with your economic development goals, what have you. But a lot of parks and open space, street connectivity, you can see those three bars, over 50% of communities. That's an amazing number of communities saying, look, we've made changes in that space, but a lot of interest in parking and bicycling and a lot of the others. By the way, we've recorded all of those other categories and we're learning from these case studies and want to share these case studies and recent changes from community to community and with others to say, look, the communities in the Wasatch Front are doing great work. All right, let's go to the next one. Now, we've been talking about centers as places where communities are saying, you know, dealing with the demands of being the fastest growing state over the last 10 years, we don't want to put new growth in every corner of our community, but there are places where it makes a lot of sense for growth to enable us to create a great place, a great downtown, or a great town center. There are places that make good sense, and they generally are located where there's great transportation options as well. All of these centers, you know, this is just one part of the metro of the region. All of these centers were explicitly put on the map because the local government said, that's where we want it. And so we asked, you know, you said these are your centers. How is it going? I almost gave it away. But let's pull up the second poll and have you weigh in on one question relative to the general plan and centers. Rosie, let's do the second poll. Does your general plan in your community include the centers on the Wasatch Choice 2050 centers map? And obviously a lot of you don't represent a local government, and so you can pick not applicable for that one. This one's a pretty easy one in terms of it not being a complicated question. So we'll close it here in just another 5 seconds. Three, two, one. Isn't this a lot of fun? Let's see the results. Okay, so about a third of communities saying, yeah, we have put the centers in our general plan, all of them, about a third. Yes, some, well, that's not, it's more than a third because we have to sort of mathematically separate the not applicable. So it's still too early in the morning for me to do complicated math, but you can really see kind of a great level of progress in that. Let's take a look at what your planners did. We asked them both about the general plan on the left and zoning on the right. And, you know, more than 40% said our general plan reflects all of the centers in the Wasatch Choice, and about a third, an additional third said, yeah, some of them. And a few of them said no, other, and not applicable. And then when we asked about the zoning itself, does your zoning implement any centers? Again, a really high percentage. So communities are in the middle of asking themselves, you know, what are the right places for growth and how does that unfold in our community? And, you know, hey, we participated and are part of the Wasatch Choice vision and we're moving it forward. So it's a really great story for us to tell each other. And then, you know, Senate Bill 34 asks communities, hey, have you been coordinating your local planning with regional planning, just generally, in lots of different kinds of ways? And so we explored that with communities as well. Let's pull up the third and final question just to see what you think about this, and then I'll show you a little bit of the detail that your planners did on this. Does your general plan consider the regional transportation plan? And you can think about what that might mean. I'm going to tell you what your planners said, what they thought that meant in their head about what it means to consider the regional transportation plan with the general plan. It could be where land use happens. It could be your transportation, right? It could be other things as well. So it's a little bit of a tricky question, and that's part of the reason why we unpacked it with your planners, and you'll see those results here in just a second. Let's close that again in just a few seconds. Or now. Hey, let's close it now. I like that idea. So here are your results. You're like, of course, WFRC, we have been addressing the regional transportation plan in our local planning, the vast majority of you. And I will note that, for Tooele and Morgan counties, that also means coordinating with Utah Department of Transportation and their planning efforts as well. It's all part of the same family, right? WFRC, UDOT, UTA, local governments kind of thinking through these things. Here is what your communities said. When they answered yes to that question, we unpacked it a little bit about, hey, tell us a little bit about how you considered it. A lot of them said, you know, the regional transportation projects, well, we put them right in our plan. So we're thinking about changes to regional infrastructure within our plan. We located the second one, we located our growth centers near that transportation, the very notion of Wasatch Choice. Third, we correlated our local transportation changes with those regional transportation changes. And fourth, we thought about how well can people get to the destinations that they need to get to. And that's part of the way that we thought about incorporating the regional transportation plan with our local plans. So, you know, I think in the aggregate, this is just telling a really great story. I would summarize it that communities are being really proactive. One, they're being really proactive, not just thinking about how they handle growth, but also how they collaborate with other local governments around them and with regional entities that they are in turn a part of. That's part of the story. And honestly, I think part of the story is this takes a little bit of time, right? Communities are working through these issues as they move forward. And speaking about working through and advancing things and making progress, our Regional Growth Committee Vice Chair, Mayor Dandoy from Roy. Mayor, I know that your community has been doing amazing work in thinking through a new or revitalized downtown that's also near a Front Runner station. Do you want to talk a little bit about your experience in implementing that downtown vision and telling your story a little bit?
Thank you, Ted, for the opportunity. Let me just share a couple of a little history on that, if you don't mind. One thing that's interesting, we started this journey about 3 years ago when Wasatch Front worked with us to establish what's called Focus Roy. It was more of an interchange that took place with the community to kind of get a vision of what we think Roy ought to look like in the future. And then from that, we went ahead and really dealt deep into Senate Bill 34 when it was approved and signed by the governor. And then we made a number of appropriate changes. I will indicate to you that you may be aware of this, but much like other cities, I assume, we did a resolution back in January 15th of 2019 that talked about addressing the housing gap coalition. We recognize Roy is like many other cities, needs to take an active role and a commitment to deal with housing, particularly affordable housing. And then with that, in compliance with Senate Bill 34, we changed our general plan. Our general plan basically now started talking about action. What are we going to do? Two components that are critical to that was the elements of Senate Bill 34 that addressed the transit-oriented development station at the Front Runner station Roy has, which is now beginning its phase to start working on that. And I can talk about that if you have an interest. But equally important, our interest would be is what are we going to do downtown in terms of establishing mixed-use developments? And we did. And I will tell you, that was not an easy pull. I will tell you that you get a lot of voices in the choir when you start talking about mixing commercial and residential in the same location, particularly in somewhat of a rural area that Roy is. But we slid through it. We worked through it as a municipality. I will tell you, the pandemic did not help us by any definition. We spent a lot of time. Let me give you some examples of how much time. 23 public meetings. Have you write that down? Who in their right mind spends 23 public meetings talking about developing a mixed-use development of downtown? But the pandemic, again, didn't help us. We put out a survey to help in that process. We made contact to 6,000 of our residential units in Roy and asked for their input on this conversation. We pulled all that information together, and on the 16th of March, the vote came and the city council approved a mixed-use development in downtown Roy. I could not be more excited. And with that mixed-use development then comes, obviously, all of the opportunities in terms of really delving into affordable housing options and some of the other things that we think will be very valuable. I will tell you, Roy has found itself in a unique situation in large part because we're within walking distance of the new Northrop Grumman operation in Hill Air Force Base. And we believe that will be a really nice addition with some of the things we're proposing and planning. I will tell you one other thing that's really exciting, and I'm kind of curious to see where Maida is going with it, about the element about purchasing the railroad line from Union Pacific, because we believe, we seriously believe, that much like I think the advantage of Salt Lake has with its tracks and other kinds of people movers, we think it's time we bring those kind of concepts to Northern Utah. So the point I want to suggest to you is our downtown now is postured, Ted. We are now got the ordinance in place. I have a meeting tomorrow with developers. We've already had some interest to start looking at what are the possibilities for our downtown in terms of now making quite a change. And it's going to be a lot of fun. It's really going to be a lot of fun, but it took a long time to get there. Hopefully that helps you, Ted.
Mayor Dunaway, thank you for sharing your story from Roy. I'm fascinated to hear it because I started on the Wasatch Front Regional Council right as this was getting started. And I remember you talking about this initially. And so I appreciate hearing an update about where it's at and the progress that's been made in Roy. And I think it's just so important that story is shared, that the legislators know that state leaders are aware of the work that's taking place in our communities. And so thank you so much for being such an example of that and for sharing that today. I'm wondering if there's anybody else that would like to share, that would like to comment on progress in your communities or anything specific that you're doing that you think, yeah, this is a really great thing and maybe people don't know it. You can just feel free to unmute if you have anything to share.
Mayor, if I could just make a couple observations that I think, first of all, from the legislative report, the one thing that you come out of the session realizing is that the success really was moving in under a unified plan, both in the transportation and land use with a single message. And that just was so much more effective in making the case. But I've also been thinking a lot as, you know, I've driven around this last year. A few years back when I worked at Salt Lake County, one of my staff members, Jake Young, convinced us to hold a session on the cost of free parking. And I've looked at, a lot of retail segments as we've gone around. And of course, retail has been kind of a little bit altered this last year. And a lot have had to sort of rethink that. But I'm not sure how much of it will return back to normal. I think some of the restaurants, those kind of things will, but people's patterns have changed and there's a lot of underutilized land on the verge of even some of our transit connections that really have the high potential of redevelopment and looking in some of these town centers and strengthening those. You have to give a little bit more time for things to hopefully come back, but you also realize that some of the things will change forever. And then the last thing I would just say is, so often transit does trail the efforts like Roy, and although the front runner was there to begin with, but a lot of times we have to catch up to the development that you're doing, but it helps us in making the case when there is density and there are people and there are jobs nearby. It's just a lot easier to make the case on both the federal and the state side for the investments. And so even though we may be a little bit behind where you are developing, it's still an important step as you make those efforts as a community.
Thank you, Chairman Christensen. We appreciate that, and your insights, very helpful. Anybody have anything else you'd like to share?
Mayor, this is Beth Holbrook with UTA. This is a little bit of the UTA train this morning. Sorry for the bad pun. If I may make a quick comment, I have to say, I have worked with Roy City for prior to even my being in this role as a trustee, and to see all of the changes. When we first started looking at this, when I started this role at UTA, Mayor Dandoy was probably one of the most proactive mayors in terms of looking at what he could do for his community. And it culminated in the scenarios that he outlined. And he has, he's really embraced some of these elements of looking at their land use, their zoning and everything else, and the things that we have all been talking about to each other. And I just wanted to say that he was there right in the beginning for our first discussion about how do we address the TOD cap and what do we do to move forward? And those types of ideas are just so, they really drive the dialogue moving forward. And I think that we all have this opportunity to work together to really utilize some of the legislation like 217, the HTRZ, all of these elements that we think that could come together. So I just wanted to say kudos to Mayor Dandoy. He really has like just nailed it. So thank you.
Thank you, Beth. I appreciate that. And again, thanks for the example, Mayor Dandoy, of what really can be done and the progress that's made for the residents of your city and will be in the big picture, in the long haul, and for all those along the Wasatch Front, ultimately as a ripple effect of the decisions that you're making. Thank you.
Hello, this is Chris.
Chris, did you want to share something? Nope, okay. Okay, well, we're going to turn now. I just appreciate that there are also kind of going along with this. I want to talk about maybe some of the resources that are available. There are quite a few resources that the Wasatch partners have developed related to the type of work that we're talking about, the kind of thing that came out in the surveys and the kind of work that we're trying to do. I'm going to turn it to Megan Townsend. We appreciate Megan and she's just done so much. I've had the privilege of working with her on several projects and she's just awesome. We're going to turn the time over to Meg and have you share a whole portion of what's available for us to going forward.
Thank you so much, Mayor Ramsey, Madam Chair. And Mayor Dandoy, hats off to you. You know, we supported that work in what ways we could through the Transportation and Land Use Connection Program, but Roy City just showed so much dedication to public service and community outreach and really it paid off. So great job. Nice work on all of that. I'm going to remind you of a few resources today that we have available to you. A lot of these resources were produced with your local planners side by side with us. They, you know, they participated in the development of these resources. And what I'm going to show you today, you know, really shines a light on many ways to measure quality of life. You know, they're planning resources, it's data, but it all really paints a picture of quality of life in your community and how we can plan to make it better going forward. And keep it up, keep up the quality of life that we have already in our region. These resources can save you and your staff a lot of time in planning as well. So I'm gonna share my screen here. Okay. Actually, other Megan's gonna share her screen. Okay. So this is a Wasatch Choice map. You should be very familiar with this map. It should look like something you see every week, I'm sure. But it's not just our vision, it's not just transportation and land use plans, projects in here. If up on the top, of course, you see the vision, transportation, land use, economic development, and recreation. If you click on this settings button here, you can add more data to this map. So I'm going to walk you through some of the options on this map that you can easily use. They're really helpful. I'm going to add access to opportunities, growth projections, and active transportation. Okay, so you can see those tabs have been added to the top now. And I'm just going to go through and walk you through a couple of these. Honestly, I'm afraid to show these to you because you might stop calling us because all of this is going to be at your fingertips and you might not need us, but call us anyway. Call us to say hi once you have all these resources. All right, so jumping into the access to opportunities resource here. Access to opportunities is a measure of how many places can be accessed by people, right? It's as simple as that. A healthy land use mix of jobs to housing raises the access to opportunities score. Within this map, you can actually change the modes off to the right here. It's currently workplace accessibility, bike, auto. You can change that to transit or have them both pulled up, right? So you can see different modes in your community. sets our access to opportunities resource for you. There's a lot of information on our website about access to opportunities. There's also growth projections within this map resource. So all within this Wasatch Choice map, you don't have to go anywhere else. Off to the right, you see employment projections as well as population projections. This is what Ted's talking about, right? This and utilizing this in your planning efforts and your general plans. This right here saves you a lot of time. I want to show you something too. I mean, maybe it's obvious. Not being the creator of these maps, I think it's fun for me to point out the simple things. But you can type in your city. Here, Dandoy, I'll type in yours. It's three letters. It's quick. You can type your city in and search and go just to your area. You get a little yellow outline, very simple. You can click on these TAZ traffic analysis zones and get more information there. Okay, and the final one I'll walk through really quickly is this active transportation map. Of course, this is our regional plans for bicycle network. Off to the right, you can change this to just cycle tracks, right? You could just look at planned cycle tracks and maybe start an initiative as a community to implement some of these things, these high comfort facilities. And you can see some of these are really long, right? So there's a lot of planning to be done there, a lot of implementation work. And of course, many of you are pros, you use this every day. But if you don't, this is a really, there's more to this resource that immediately meets the eye. Okay, I'm gonna go to our map gallery here. You can get here by going to maps.wfrc.org. Really simple. You can access the Wasatch Choice map here, but you can also access a lot of other data resources that we have available to you. Huge shout out to our analytics team for all of their efforts here. They've made it easy. If you want to just start here with your planning, they've made it really easy. There's maps here on street connectivity, Wasatch Front Park and trail accessibility. We have our new city level sales tax trends. These maps get highlighted in our newsletter, our Map of the Month series. So you can always find them there in your email and go to this page. And you can always ask us if you have a tough time finding this. Okay. We could spend all day here, but I'm going to mention just a quick reminder of some other resources recently released in December. These are on our website. If you go to Visions and Plans, Wasatch Choice Regional Vision, over here to Toolbox, and then you'll see new Wasatch Choice resources. I guess over time, we'll probably take off the new, right? But these will live on our website. Down here, if you scroll down, you can learn about our efforts. Again, working with you and your local communities, as well as our partners, our Wasatch Choice partners, to develop these resources. A couple to highlight here, the public engagement guidebook. This is fantastic. We're doing public engagement so differently now. You can see that this resource is obviously with the times. We've got our Zoom meeting here on the cover. And as you scroll through, you can find so many tips about how to do effective communication and engagement with your community in the virtual world and what may become a hybrid, right? It'll be interesting to see how public engagement within planning really grows and changes, but this resource will be helpful. Go back. There's a technical assistance resources compendium here. This is funding for so much planning, so many different efforts that your community might be doing. Of course, the Transportation and Land Use Connection Program that we'll talk about shortly here is in there. Among many other things, we've got our data resources, the Wasatch Choice Vision all linked here. There must be 100 places on our website where you can find the Wasatch Choice Vision, but always give us a call. The last resource I'm gonna talk about today is our TLC program. And Mayor Ramsey, would it be okay if at this point I move to item 4 on our agenda?
I think that would be great. I would appreciate it. Thank you for what you've shared so far, and take it away with TLC. We're a big fan of grants.
We love the grants. Really quickly, actually, before I move on, are there any questions about what I've showed you today? Bert Gramberger, analytics team lead, is here, so he can help me out if they're technical. All right, I either did a great job or I went way too fast. We'll find out when I get phone calls later. Okay.
Megan, you did a great job.
Good. Okay, so now I am going to move on over here. Present my transportation and land use connection PowerPoint. Let me get caught up with myself here. Okay, so we have this TLC program, right? This amazing technical assistance for planning program. This is funding for you and your staff. This is where we do the fun stuff. We of course have our partners in this program, UTA, Salt Lake County, and Wasatch Front Regional Council. And I've taken up my fair share of words. Mayor Wilson, would you like to speak to this partnership and the assistance it provides, really?
Of course. Well, thank you. And I have to laugh, the 2021 awards. This is Wasatch Front Regional Council's equivalent of the Academy Awards. What are we sending out and why? And I'm looking at the list and I really thinking about the impact these grants have within your various communities, both in my county and then the Ogden-Layton area. And it really is great. I mean, I think about your municipal budgets and the limitations and sometimes how hard it is to get one-time money to do great things around planning. And, you know, I look at the White City Metros receiving $60,000. They have a $45,000 match. For Walk White City, and what a great community purpose for this relatively new township to figure out how to make their city or their township in this case more walkable. That's just one example. And I just think this is a great program, understanding how rapidly we're growing, how I think our residents are asking for different things like walkability and like bike routes. And you know, there's one program to look at building height and pedestrian space and updating codes. So I'm going to give credit to previous mayors. I don't know if it was Mayor Caroon or Ben McAdams. I think it was Andrew who came up with this great idea, or maybe it's been around longer. But I know this program has evolved to really be a benefit, especially when, you know, your budgets are kind of more long-term, but you have these one-off needs. And so I would encourage you to apply. I'm thrilled that Salt Lake County has been a partner in this. And we've been able to convince our council to continue to fund this program so that we can provide good service to the cities and townships in my county. And I hope that we will do even more projects in future years, and really happy about these awards. And just with that, thanks everyone for paying attention to this program. And as always, thanks to Megan and the Wasatch Front team for doing a great job on this.
Thank you so much, Mayor Wilson, and to our other partners, UDOT and UTA. And we have some UDOT leadership and UTA trustees on the line. We couldn't do this program without you. Maybe it does sound like the Academy Awards. I need like a disco ball to drop or something. I need my gala gown. Anyway, thank you so much. This is my favorite part of the year, to get to tell you about these awards. So of course, the TLC program provides technical assistance to local communities to help them achieve their goals and plan for growth. This is about your plans. We want to make those plans happen with you. The program helps communities implement changes to the built environment that reduce traffic and enable people to more easily walk, bike, and use transit. Of course, our three modes we hold so dearly. Okay, this year we are rolling out nearly $1.4 million in TLC funding with a match of $260,000. We're making 16 awards in 21 communities. Lots of these awards are multi-jurisdictional, four of them working together across community boundaries. We love to see that. We can support you in that. It's a lot of herding cats, and it's our favorite thing to do. So always keep those multi-jurisdictional projects coming to us. We have 8 projects in the Salt Lake urbanized area, 7 in the Ogden-Layton urbanized area, and 1 in Morgan County. So our first project type here I'll talk about is our ordinance updates. We have 2 of these this year, Salt Lake City downtown building height and pedestrian space code update. I mean, this is at the heart of urban design, right? This is how our built environment interacts with the people on the street, doing whatever they're doing, walking, hanging out if it's a really great space, right? Ogden City Planning, the Central Business District, and Make Ogden Ordinance. This plan, the downtown plan for Ogden City, was recently completed, and we'll be able to help them implement this through zoning. Our next project type here, small area plans. So we have a Holiday Mill Creek Wasatch Boulevard Master Plan Phase 2.
I just kept on rolling through it. You're okay.
Jim, do you mind muting your mic? Thank you, Jim. Okay, the Wasatch Boulevard Master Plan Phase 2. We funded Phase 1 through the program in other communities, different part of Wasatch Boulevard, and now we'll fund Phase 2. So we love to see these projects continue to grow through implementation. We have our Midvale City State Street Corridor Study. Salt Lake City Granary District Area Plan, a Farmington City Farmington Station Area Plan, and a Morgan County project that will be a small area plan for two communities for Morgan Green and Peterson plans, all under this umbrella of a market study, right? So we're doing this with data. We're looking at what's coming to Morgan County, what we can accomplish there, and then we'll plan in these communities. Mayor Mendenhall, we have some amazing projects coming out of Salt Lake City this year. Would you like to speak for just a moment about those projects?
Sure, thank you. And thanks, Megan. You're making the meeting more fun with your enthusiasm for these grants. And Beth, I'm on board for a Black Tie Transit Nerds Unite event next year. It's been a little while since I've put those kind of shoes on. But Salt Lake City's thrilled with these two awards. We've been, as you know, pretty committed to expanding transportation options in our downtown, but throughout the city. And both of these projects, the CBD and the Granary, are going to help us expand choices that people have when they're considering where to live, where to grow and invest in with a business, and how they're going to be able to get around the city. And even though these two projects overlap, as our downtown code update includes the Granary District, they are really different neighborhoods and they serve different purposes. We are thrilled, as we always are, to work with the Transportation and Land Use Connection Program, but doing it on this downtown building height and the public pedestrian space code update and the Granary District Area Plan. The downtown code update is really focused on trying to enable more people to live and work where we have the most transit in our downtown area. At the same time, making that experience of being down there as a resident or a visitor a better pedestrian experience. And the Granary District Area Plan is going to focus on maximizing all the different kinds of travel to serve our new residents coming into the area and businesses that are already there and residents that are already there. I'll just say, of all the places in Salt Lake City's 110 square miles to keep an eye on, I think that the Granary District, which if you don't know what that is, it's the neighborhood south of the Grand Boulevard, so 5th and 6th South, think south of that, where the old cereal factory used to be, or it's still standing there, and all the way down to about 9th South, going east to about 3rd East, I'm sorry, 3rd West, and then to I-15. So it's boxed by I-15, 3rd West, 6th South, and 9th South. Opportunity zone investment, hundreds of millions of dollars from the private sector pumping into that area. And that area of all of Salt Lake City is going to see the most change. That's my prediction in these coming years. Right now, it's pretty low scape, very maker and artist infused with the people who are there right now. And it's about to skyrocket. So even though we have, you know, almost a dozen high rises either in the pipeline or under construction downtown, you're not going to recognize Granary in 20 years the way that it looks today. So we can't thank you, our partners, enough for helping us make sure that the way we go about both enabling and envisioning the opportunity of these areas better than we could have ever done on our own. Thank you to our partners at the county and UDOT and UTA and WFRC for this support. Thanks for giving me a moment, Megan.
Thank you so much, Mayor Mendenhall. Okay.
Hey, Megan, can I please make one brief comment here also, please? Just go back to the previous slide for a second. I just want to, and I know you're not done with announcing the awards, the ceremony's not over, but I just want to note, as you look at this list of plans, look at the diversity of community types that you have on here. Mayor Mendenhall was talking about the center of our region in Salt Lake City. And then Midvale, you know, an older built out community, re-envisioning what can happen in the State Street area, Farmington developing around the Front Runner station. And then I'm so excited about the Morgan Awards, you know, that it's the first time TLC program has made awards in Morgan County that is growing so fast and has been, you know, really a rural area and is envisioning how they can absorb that growth and maintain great quality of life. And just that diversity in our communities underlies one of the philosophies that we have, which is there is no one size fits all to the right approach for how development should occur. And that's why TLC works with each of your communities so that to help you figure out what is best for you and your residents, the unique character and your unique vision for each of your communities. So what Mayor Mendenhall is describing about Salt Lake, That may not be what Morgan County wants to have. And that's why we provide the assistance so that you can figure out the best way to absorb growth and have great quality of life that makes sense in your area. I just think that just jumps out at me at looking at this diverse mix of communities on this slide here.
Thank you so much, Andrew. Okay, we have a couple of active transportation plans, but don't be fooled, because this list of cities over here on the left covers a whole lot of Weber County. It's two efforts, but there's a whole lot of active transportation cover in these two plans. We have our Layton City Active Transportation Plan and the Western Weber County Active Transportation Plan in West Haven, Plain City, Marriott Slaterville, Hooper, Roy, North Ogden, and participating with Weber County. Mayor Petra, we've done so much great work in Layton as well with through the program. If you'd like to make a comment, please go ahead.
I don't know that I'm a good Academy Award speaker here, but I will tell you, I'm extremely thankful for the funding that we're receiving here to be able to really take a good hard look at our transportation plan and really kind of cover the entire gambit, whether it be bike trails, pedestrian, transit, UTA. We've gone through our general plan process, and certainly we have different corridors that we're trying to connect. We've got a lot of just small trails, but we really need to look forward into the future and really see how we can connect all that and grow in an area for providing work as well as housing. So we're excited to put this funding to use and really go through a good study and survey and not necessarily just take our own opinions, because we all have a segment that we're all passionate about, but really look at what the professionals say and what they advise for us. So we're excited to get started, quite honestly. And I have to say, I'm going to give a shout out to my staff, because I got to tell you, I feel like my staff, I have said, hey, you guys can do this. You know what's going on. And they were smart enough to say, no, you know what, let's look at some other alternatives too. So thankfully, they were willing to put the time in, though, and to help me get this grant. So again, thank you all. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
We're so glad that they did, Mayor Petro. We look forward to working with Layton on this. I have to point out these cute cows next to a trail in Hooper. We're doing some work with the Hooper General Plan now, and they were kind enough to take us on a tour. And Hooper, for a small city, they're packing a punch already in trails. So we're excited to help them advance that active transportation network. Okay, parking studies. We have two of these this year. We have one in Kearns and one in Clearfield City, both helping to implement a more walkable downtown. We're not getting rid of parking. We're looking at how to make it more efficient and if possible, make walking a little bit more friendly in those cities. And then this list of citywide plans for various different things. We have a Sandy City General Plan update, a South Salt Lake and Mill Creek Mobility through Digital Access Plan. If COVID-19, it's taught us many things. One of those is that access to internet is very important when it comes to access to opportunities, people, making a livelihood, going to school. We wanna help these communities think about that. And ultimately potentially reduce automobile traffic just with that alone. Walk Bike City, Mayor Wilson mentioned this effort. We have a Bountiful City Comprehensive General Plan update and a Weber County Housing Affordability Plan that we're gonna be helping the city or the county of Weber with in-house. I have another program I want to talk about a little bit today, rolling out these awards alongside the TLC awards. This past year, our Wasatch Front Economic Development District was successful in receiving some EDA CARES Act recovery assistance funding, about $300,000 in funding from EDA within the CARES Act for recovery assistance. And we're utilizing that for technical assistance as far as economic development and economics in response to COVID-19. So we had a kind of sidecar application process for these EDA funds as well this year. And here are the projects being funded with this EDA CARES Act recovery assistance money. We have a Copperton, Immigration, Kearns, Magna, and White City. Our metro townships are working on a digital infrastructure study. Cottonwood Heights Economic Resiliency Plan in responding to the challenges of COVID-19, thinking about how to be more resilient going forward. Salt Lake City Social Impact Bond Study, Salt Lake County Business Recovery Assistance, Copperton Immigration. Oh, I got a double on that one. Sorry about that. We've got the Davis County Economic Development Strategic Plan Update, a Tooele City Local Retail Trends Analysis, and a Clinton Economic Development Plan. That is the end of our list of awards today. If any communities would like to make a comment, you're absolutely welcome. Okay, and this is my number. Please always give me a call with your project ideas. I want to talk about with them with you. Obviously, I'm excited. This is my favorite day of the year. So keep those great planning projects coming.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Megan. We appreciate it. And thank you for sharing information about what's going on in your cities, Mayor Mendenhall, Mayor Wilson with Salt Lake County, Mayor Petro up in Layton, and also Ted and Andrew. Thank you for all of your input, everyone who's participated. So all in favor of making the March of 2022 a black tie formal event where we get to see each other in person and wear fancy clothes and eat good food and feel a little more normal, I'm just saying you're welcome to unmute and say aye. I don't even need a motion. I'm making that motion.
Aye.
Okay, so Andrew and Ted, Andrea, yeah, they're going to kill me. However, I think the direction is fairly clear. That is what we that's what we think we should do. Anyway, it seems about unanimous, so nobody said no. So I really do look forward to when I can see all of you in person, and I feel like that time is getting closer. So thank you to all of you, and thank you for your partnership and your involvement and everything that you do. This is important work. It matters. It's not the sexy work. It's not the stuff that really gets the Academy Awards, but it matters. It's important, and it is important for our future. So thank you to all of you. Just a reminder, our next meeting, the not black tie meeting, we have a year for that. So our next meeting is May 20th of 2021. And our next WFRC council meeting is next Thursday, March 25th. And just a reminder, we will have Governor Cox joining us at that meeting. So if you serve as a member of the Wasatch Front Regional Council, our meeting is next Thursday. Active Transportation meeting, April 14th. Transcom is April 15th. And the Wasatch Front Economic Development District meeting is April 28th. It had before been listed as 26th. It is the 28th of April. Anyway, with that, unless anybody has anything else they'd like to add, I am prepared to take a motion to adjourn and just thank you all for your help.
So moved.
Thank you. Can I get a second?
Second.
All in favor of adjourning this meeting, please say aye.
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 So much. Thanks to all of you.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.